It's good to be in the house of the Lord. If you would, turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. And when you get there, please stand for the reading of the Word. 1 Kings chapter 19. First Kings chapter 19, picking up in verse number 13. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain the prophets with the sword, and I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. How many times do we feel like that? And the Lord said unto him, Go, return thy way into the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphath, of Abel-Mehola, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. It's a hard order right there to go tell somebody they're going to take your place. How many of us would do that with joy? And it came to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. And him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me, listen to what he tells him, I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So he departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphath, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elisha passed him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee again. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The thought that I had, and I think that we need to get in our mind anywhere but backward. You got to get that set in your mind and in your head. Anywhere but backward. Now, we're not talking about backsliding and going all the way away from God. We could talk about, preach about the dog returning to his vomit, and no man putting his hand to the plow is fit for the kingdom of God. But I'm talking about not totally backsliding, but just going away from what you know to be the truth. I think we, as Christians, a lot of times, we make a lot of effort to take a step forward, but then through life in general, through situations, through our own flesh, through our own desires, we end up taking a step right back to where we were. How many of you today have started a good habit only to let it go away? How many, I guess we should use this as a better example, how many have started a diet only to have it end very quickly? We make the step in the right direction because we always make comfort to come back. And we don't need to make the comfortable place where we came from to return to, because it is us who are praying, asking God to take us into another place. Take me someplace different. I want to get deeper in you. Now, Elisha is the example we want to use this morning. And he gets found, and he's out just doing what Elisha done. He's out plowing with 12 of his friends, and him, well, 11 of his friends, him with the 12th, and he's plowing. He's going up and down the field, day in and day out. I'm sure he's plowed that field before. But there's something a little bit different in Elisha. He knows that he's a little bit greater than what's happening around him. He knows that there's something inside of him that needs to get birth. There's a desire in him, that a little flicker, I guess you would say, that's just kind of got a little bit of movement in him. There's something there, but he don't know what it is. He don't know what to do with it. And all of a sudden, when he's in the field this day, I believe when he's plowing with his yoke and he's looking, he says, yeah, there's that same old rock that I pass all the time. Here's the same old stripe down the field. And he's going back and forth. But his other friends, they're all happy just doing what they're doing. But there's something something a little bit different. There's more that Elisha wanted from God. There's more that he desired out of life. And he just, I believe it was just in his mind, I'm going to do a little bit more. There's something there. But I don't see how I'm going to be able to do it. I don't see. And a lot of times, oh boy, here we go. We let what's going on around us affect us so much that we will forsake exactly what God desires us to do. Can we get personal? We'll be praising God. Praise the Lord. God, I'm going to stand for you. I'm going to do this. And somebody comes against you and you're like, well, maybe that's not meant to be. Why would God waste the time to birth something in your spirit only to say, I'm not going to do anything with it? How foolish would it be for God to say, Debbie, I'm going to do this with you. Pray for it. And when you pray for it, He said, nah, I'm just joking. How many believe our God works that way? Elisha out in the field, just behind the plow one more time and say, while everybody else is satisfied plowing and kicking in the dirt, maybe I should be satisfied too. That's the way it's always been done. We've plowed this field every year. We've went this way of time. What would they think if I didn't plow? What would they think if instead of going this way, I went this way? What would everybody think if I just didn't do what everybody else was doing? What would they think? What does it matter? If it's in accord with the Word of God and you're seeking God, can I use you, sis? You don't mind? I don't know why Joan got a holler like she does. I mean, everything's quiet and all of a sudden, whoa! Why'd she got to do that? Does that stop you from doing it? Because somebody might question it, sis. When the Lord bless you, just bless you. Why can't we walk in the goodness that God can do in each one? Well, I'll be out of control. There you go. Can I say that again? I will be out of control. This is the house that the Lord is supposed to be in control. But we desire so much, but we're very uncomfortable with going in to a new place. Because it's uncharted territory. We don't know what God may do with us. We don't know what He might require of us. Therefore, I'll stay in the field. I'll stay behind my plow. Even though there might be greater things for me, I'm comfortable. I like this. I know what to expect. I know when my plow hits a rock, I'll stop. I'll move the rock and I'll just continue to plow. I might get a little dirty, but that'll wash off. Waking up day in and day out looking for the plow. And sometimes, look, the mantle of ministry is falling. And it's going to get heavier. There's folks in here that God wants to use to do some stuff. And you'll never come into the greatness of your personal life until you come into the greatness of your spiritual life. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I'll say that one again. Until you allow yourself to move in to the plan that God has and allow yourself to move into what God has set for you from the birth of you, you will never find peace in your personal life. You'll be tormented. You'll be aggravated. And they'll go from there, you'll be aggravated with your friends and your family and everybody around you because you're going to be aggravated. Because I'm aggravated because I'm aggravated. And if you would come with me, then I could do it. But Abraham tried that, and he put his blessing off. He said, no, I'll take Lot with me. That was not the direction that God gave him. He said, leave it behind. I'm doing something with you. Sometimes God's got to get us alone, because if you went with me, brother, the whole time God's talking to me, every time He tells me something, I say, well, Rick, what do you think about that? And I'm not listening to what God's telling me. I'm listening to what Rick's telling me. Rick is not my direction. God is our direction. And here's Elisha. On a plow. Behind the ox. Behind the ox. You know, an ox is big. And an ox is strong. But an ox is stupid. You don't, how many people you say, how many farmers? We got farmers here. Denzel, you've had cow. How many times do you go out and you take a stick and you show it to that cow and you go fetch? Matter of fact, you've seen somebody doing that. Say, Denzel, come here, let me show you what I'm going to train my cow to do. And you take that stick and show it in front of that cow and you throw it and say, go get it. That cow's just going to look at you. Probably stick its tongue up in its nose and just look at you. They ain't made for that. And you ain't made to be stuck. How many of you have really got locked up behind a stupid thing? And you keep following it. You know that you shouldn't have feelings for it. You know you shouldn't be trying to hold on to it. You know, I don't care if it's an offense. I don't care if it's a family member. I don't care if it's a job. It doesn't matter what the stupid thing is. But you're hooked up behind it and you're thinking, boy, there's got to be something. Why am I following this thing? Why do I continually let this thing get in me? Why does that all the time bother me? Why are you hooked up behind something you know to be stupid? You are the one to make the change. Don't follow a dumb thing. Don't continually, if you know it to be a dumb thing, don't continually follow it. Allow God to change something in your life. And Elisha comes. Elijah comes walking down through the field with his mantle. I'm going to smite you, okay? Get ready. And he's minding his own business. But long before Elisha knew what was going on, Elijah done got talked to. Elijah, who was all pitiful, all by himself, sitting in the cave, thinking, God got no plan for me. God got no plan for nobody. This is the end of the line. There's nobody left but me. And God says, oh, get out of the cave. What did I tell y'all last? We ain't cave people. We don't belong in the cave. He said, you get out. And you go anoint them. Jehu, Elisha, you anoint them. And he's walking through the field. And can you imagine, here they are plowing, minding their own business. 11 of them ain't got an idea what's going on. Other than we're going to plow. Hey, there's folks around you just like church is. I just want to come to church, hear a song, hear a message, and go home. Is there something wrong with that? Absolutely not. There's not a thing wrong with that. But there's some folks that God's talking to. You see things in your spirit. You feel something inside of you. And you set at it just like a pressure cooker. And as soon as it starts to go beep, you tighten her down one more time. Sooner or later, it's going to explode. And what's inside ain't going to be fit for nothing because everything's exploded. But if you take the top off of it at the right time, how many knows a pressure cooker can do its job? His 11 friends just plowing, and here comes, and I believe, the Bible don't say this, but I believe Elisha was plowing along, and he seen that prophet coming, and he just stopped. Is this my minute? Is this it? Who is this guy? And all he done was he just said, at the minute that God drops his mantle on you, you've got to realize, this is my time. What did Elijah say to Elisha? Did he say, come on. Now, let me tell you what God's plan is for you, because God's got something great set for you. And if you'll just follow God, and if you'll just do this, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Nope, he just did this. How many times do we say, Jesus, give me my mantle back? I might preach with this today. Feels good. How many times has God spoken something to us, and we just let it pass? Not me. Is that what Elisha said? Not me. Don't hit me with that. I'm plowing. Because if I don't plow, then I won't plow. How could I go and be a prophet? I'm a plowman. Been a plowman. Ever since I'm big enough to hold the plow, I've been a plowman. It's my ox. It's my yoke. I love it. I'm hooked up behind the dumb thing and everything's good. Because a dumb thing don't require nothing of me. Ooh. Dumb thing just says, smack me on the behind and I'll pull the plow and you got it. That's what the dumb thing says. Every day, whoosh, we're plowing. We plow to lunch and then we eat lunch and guess what we're going to do? We're going to plow some more. And when the sun goes down, you know what we're going to do tomorrow? We're going to plow some more. But Elisha wanted something just a little bit different in his life. To the point that when the man of God said, the mantle is there. Didn't even say it, just threw it, just touched him. When God come by and touches you, you know that there's something different. And how many times do we let the enemy just steal that something different away from us? We know we got touched by God that Sunday night service or when I was praying Tuesday morning. I know God touched me, but this is the situation I'm in now. Don't you know that you're the change in the situation? You're the light set on a hillside. You're the thing that's going to make life different. You're the one that's going to walk into the room and the whole room is going to just be different. Why? Because you are there. I don't know. That sounds awful prideful. Let me tell you something. You are the best that this world has to offer because you have been adopted by the Holy One of Israel who died on the cross and said, it's through by my blood you shall be able to call Abba Father. And you are something. And Elisha knew something happened just with the mantle. And he ran after him. He said, wait a minute. Let me go kiss my mom and dad goodbye. And Elijah said, go on, what I done to you? If I can talk you out of it, everything, other things are important, go your way. Well, God actually say, Cheryl, if you don't want to do something, fine. Will God just say, you can have your will, Rick Wethington, if that's what you want to do, and just move on? Will God look at me and say, Terry Rowe, if you don't want to do it, that's fine. Absolutely. He is not going to work over our will and our disobedience and our unbelieving. We need to understand that. I can still get up and come to church. Sure I can. But I'll never reach the privilege that God has for us, and God's people too long have lived way below there. Aren't you tired of reading about miracles? Wouldn't you want to be one? Aren't you tired of hearing about people who get healed and want to know that when you need it, the healer's there? Don't you want to be a part of that? Hope you don't mind. I'm going to share Sunday school with them this morning. I got blessed this morning. Got me fired up, brother. I mean, just set a fire in me. We're sitting in there just getting ready to start our old Sunday school just like every morning. Who come in there and ask? Carly come in there, being an instrument of the Lord, didn't know it. You about to get your socks blessed off, brother. Get your shoes out of the way. He walks down the hallway and he goes, Marilyn's not here and Debbie needs some help with the little ones. Who wants to help? Penny just sprang up and said, I'll do it. Went right in there. Don't mean nothing, Penny. Just good, glad to see her get involved, ain't you? Well, nobody know but me and Penny. 4 years. 4 years ago, I'm sitting this close to her with the glass in between us and her in prison. And she said, I'd love to teach the little ones just one time. God unfolded the prophecy right in front of us. And who says, and I said, Penny, thus saith the Lord, and did I not come down many times and tell you, I'm not here as your brother, I'm here as a man of God. You stick with God. You stay true to God. And don't let people get in the way, and you will do it. Is that because it's me? No, it's because we've got a God who cares about us. Folks, there's a miracle in you. You need to realize that. There's a miracle in you. There is a miracle in you. But we've got to allow ourselves to be broken so God can use us. We've got to change. But this is my facade. I don't know how to change. I don't know what to do. Let me go back and kiss my parents goodbye. Problem is when we go back to kiss them, they don't kiss you, brother. We say, I'll see you later, I can catch up to him tomorrow or the next day. He can't get that far. He's just, well, I'll just stay. And every single situation that God is ready to deliver us from, when we kiss that thing goodbye, we end up putting our arms around it and say, well, it's okay. I'll just spend a little more time. I'll do it tomorrow. Tomorrow will be, Monday will be my new day. Tomorrow will be, well, Tuesday. Well, we got church Wednesday, and I'll start at Wednesday. And we end up staying in the back and never following after the miracle that God has sent with us and to us, and realizing the work that He's getting ready to do in us because we're too busy kissing the thing goodbye. Can I tell you? Kiss it goodbye. And when you do that, I'm not talking about embracing it and saying, oh, goodbye, goodbye, because you start to cling on to it. Don't do that. Don't worry, brother. Chuck Roeder said, no man ever kissed me. He got his. We embrace it so long, we start to become comfortable and say, well, if it was God's will, I wouldn't feel this way. Because we have been told so long that anything God's going to do is just going to be smooth and slick. When we've got a word in our hand that shows not every... Did Paul have a smooth and slick life after he started preaching the gospel? When you start shaking the world, things start happening. When you start realizing it's in me and it can come out, things are going to happen. I would say, kiss it goodbye. If it's a hurt feeling, kiss it goodbye. If it's a situation, somebody didn't treat you right, kiss it goodbye. Somebody didn't do this or that, kiss it goodbye. Don't let it hold you down. Well, I have plans to do this or that, and it ain't worked out, kiss it goodbye. Just let it go. Kiss that thing goodbye and go follow God. And Elisha went back, and I believe when he kissed his parents, he turned around, and he's walking out the field, and there's his buddies probably sitting there saying, what are you doing? Don't you know we plow here? We're supposed to plow. Now you get back up underneath your yoke, and you plow like you got some sense. Because we just don't walk off the job here. This is the way we do it. This is our tradition. Getting close to home. This is the way we do it. We plow, so you plow. He said, he might have went over there, if y'all will just be entertained for a moment. Went over there, and he said, well, look up on the hill and you can see. You can see his promise getting further and further away. He said, well, it is my yoke and my oxen. And I guess... This ain't me. And it says in the Word of God, and he turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh, listen, with the instruments of the oxen. He destroyed the yoke that kept him bound to the thing that wasn't getting him his promise. He destroyed that thing. He used it as a sacrifice. You could say he gave it to God and left it in the field. He didn't say, well, as soon as she's burned up, y'all help me get the ashes and put them in the bag so I can remember it. He said, no, I'm out of here. Y'all eat the cow. Y'all have the fire with the thing that was holding me back. I'm out of here. I'm going on to something else that God has for me. And we have to allow, even though, look, I don't care what situation you're in now. As I said this morning in Sunday school, there's some folks, your situation ain't ever going to change. That ain't much hope, is it? That ain't a glorious gospel message. But what has to change and what needs to change is your attitude and your personality in your situation. And when you start to allow that to happen, then things will change. But not till. Look, If clay could talk, I don't know, I had some art classes. Everybody had art classes. You ever done the potter's wheel? Now just think, if that ball of clay could talk, sis, and they take that ball of clay and slam it on that metal plate, pow! You think you go, boy, that felt good. I think the clay would say, hey! What are you doing digging me out of there? I've been in that box with all of my buddies all this time. Why are you putting me up here on this plate? And then the motor goes on. And he starts going around. And the guy dips his hand in the water. By the washing of the water of the word, I believe is what the word says. And he starts to form it. And I believe when his thumbs go down in there, what do you think that clay would say if it could talk? Go ahead, loud. I believe he'd say more than that when he got all the way down in there, honey. I believe he'd go, oh, you're killing me. You don't know what you're doing. Poking a hole in the middle of me. You're trying to kill me. Quit pinching my sides that way. What in the world are you doing? And all of a sudden, when he pulls his hands off, he sees himself and he goes, hey, I'm pretty good. I'm not a lump no more. I'm a pitcher. I can serve somebody. Somebody who's really thirsty, I can give them a drink of water. I can be set up on a shelf and be filled with some of God's beautiful flowers. And even though it about killed me, thanks, Potter, for making me what I am today. And that's what we need to allow to happen to us. We need to allow God to form us into what we need to be. We need to get so set in our mind that we destroy. I'm telling you, burn every bridge that's behind you. Don't leave a stick of that thing. Don't go backwards. Get set in your mind this morning. I'll go anywhere, but I'm not going backwards. I may end up a little bit, if that's my goal, is back there where the brother's sitting. I may end up over here, and I may have to go around Robbie and go down this way, but I'm not going that way. I may end up over here by Cheryl, and I may have to walk down by Vicky, and go around Wayne and go around Mom to get to him. But I'm not going backwards. And if you get it in your mind that I refuse to go backwards, it's because backwards is away from the promise and the future that God has given me. If we would get as determined in God's promises and the things of God as we are in our own will, we would be able to move. Think about that. If we would get as determined in the things of God, in His promises, and in reading this, as we are in our own will, we'll move. And I'm not talking about running around. I'm talking about we'll move this earth. We will see souls saved. Folks, tell you, it don't take long. You're around me very long. I'm inviting you to church. You don't want to come to my church? Fine, let's get you saved here. Why? We've been told all our life that those people are obnoxious. Just let them see how you live. I got a Bible full of words to give to lost people, and Jesus never once walked through the town and said, y'all just look at me. Now, how many people know what I thought as I was coming across there? Why would Jesus walk up to Matthew and say, and just turn his head? Did he do that? What did he do? He said, follow me. Was there a risk that Matthew could have said, I ain't doing that. He's crazy. Yeah, he could. Oh, he couldn't walk away from Jesus. Better be careful. Read your Bible. Rich young ruler got a little bit of a word to follow him, and he went away sad. We have a will. If Jesus spoke, Peter, James, John, Matthew, Bartholomew, Paul, all of them, Silas, if they spoke, then we need to speak. Inside of each one of you is a special little treasure called your soul and spirit. Something that God can perfect if you allow it. And I'll tell you, it's hard now because there's a lot more of the world in us than they are Christianity. But when those scales get balanced, it's not as hard. And when you put more in the things of God than you do in your own will, yes, it's very humbling not to have your desires met. But God, I don't know about y'all, but God has some pretty harsh lessons in patience. Has anybody ever wanted to see something happen real quick and God said, it will. Just hang on. And then how many times in that hanging on do we say, it'll never happen. It'll never happen. It'll never happen. Maybe we need to grab a hold of something that says, it will happen. If it happened for her, it could happen for me. If it happened for you, it can happen for me. But too many times we say, well, it happens for Joan, but that's just the way Joan is. Joan will just shout sometimes. That's just, it'll never happen for me. I'd really like to shout, but I just never. I feel like it sometimes. I'll never. Let me tell you what. If you'll uncork that mouth, it'll happen. It says that David, with the ark coming in, was happy. Happy about the ark coming in. Said David would dance. Boy, he just hop. With all his might. Why was David dancing? Was it because the Spirit of God told him, David, you dance? Is it because he couldn't control himself? Or was it because David was happy about the presence of God coming to his house? I'm telling you, I don't know. Sis, I hope you don't mind me hanging on this a while, but the Lord's speaking to somebody who has said this. If you want to shout like Joan, the next time you feel it, you let it go. I don't know who you are, but that's a word to you. Not saying to model after her, because once you get started, I'm telling you what, you're out of control. How many's had the Lord get a hold of them? Huh? How many's had the Lord get a hold of them? Are you in control when He does? Are you in control when He does? I've seen it in them too. Are you in control when He does? Are you in control when He does? It just happens. And then before you know it, you're like, oh. Yeah, do you? Huh? Just, boy, it felt good. It really felt good, didn't it? Why? Let me ask you something. When your children done what you told them to, did not make you feel good? When you done what mom told you to, didn't you end up feeling good? That's why when you're obedient, the Spirit just moves on you. Am I saying that you have to do that? Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying the mantle of God is falling on some situations in this room today. And what you need to do is kiss the past goodbye. Forget about everything that has happened. Forget about what everybody said you can't do. Forget about what everybody said you ought to be because you're in this square. I heard that ever since I've been saved. It's everything I can't do. Until one man came and prophesied to me, Debbie. Robbie, you know what he told me? We was at that little old flop down church and I was sitting on the pew just like this, minding my own business. I believe the pew was even running this way and the pulpit was right there. And the man had the audacity to walk up to me and he goes, about broke my neck when he's squeezing. He said, when you decide to accept your calling to preach, you let me know, I'll give you your first message. Yes, Cheryl, on the way home, I told her, I said, he lost his mind. He missed that one by a mile. And for the next few weeks, every time, I know what my calling is now. But it's not that. But it's not that. But it's not that. Well, you don't come from a long line of preachers. How many folks in our families preachers? Doesn't matter. Look, God is not concerned with your background. If it's under the blood, let Him do a background check. If it's not under the blood, tell Him, give me a minute before you look. And when He does a background check, He'll say, Willa Dean, I'm not worried about your situation. I'm not worried about what you've done. I'm not worried about where you've been. I'm telling you, I got a future for you. How much would He say, all you've been through, Rick, all you've been through, I know it's been bad, brother. I know you had some hard knocks, but let me tell you what, I got a future for you. Don't we want that hope? Every single person sitting in here. Well, sometimes,
Sometimes I just get a little confused and I don't know which way to go. And God says, hold on, because the mantle's going to fall. And when it falls, you'll know it's me. But don't run into the hills and the mountains to look for it. But you'll see God, and you'll know it's Him, and you won't be confused about it. Confusion is of the enemy. I'm unsure about what I'm following. Let your faith kick in. You may be unsure about a lot of things you're following, but you're not unsure about what you feel in your heart when you hear the words of God. Elisha left all of his past, all of his problems, everything that was behind him, and said he went and ministered to Elijah. There, the word minister means to learn. He followed after him to learn all that he could. Too many times we have been told, you just do this, Rick, and that's what you do. I'm going to tell you, let me give you a little bit of a revelation. There is a lot of books and papers and ministers out there that ain't spread nothing but garbage. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of books and papers and ministers out there that have got an insight on God and they're passing the Word of God around. Don't reject it. This is our measuring stick. This is the ultimate rule. And if what the man of God is giving you is from this and it lines up to this, accept it. Put it on a shelf. See if it comes to pass. See what's going to happen. But we've got to allow God to teach us in our teachable moments. When the mantle falls, we've got to say, I'm kissing it all behind and I'm going to go learn what I can. And Elisha done twice. Did he not get discouraged? Did people not try to discourage him? Every town they went to, they said, don't you know your master's going to be taken from you today? He said, yeah, shh, be quiet. I don't want to hear that. I'm centered on my promise and my call to God. Went to another town. They all said, don't you know Elijah's going to be taken from you today? Don't you know that can't you? You're not going to have nobody to teach you. You're not going to have no anointing. There ain't going to be nothing to follow. You ain't going to have no direction. You ain't going to have this. You ain't going to have it. Don't you? Shh. He said, my way of putting it, shut your mouth. I want to hear it. I know I'm with him. And here's his teacher telling him, you stay here. I'm going over here. Another lesson of his calling. If I can talk you out of it, I don't need to talk you into it. He said, you stay here. I'm going over here. He said, no, sir. Sure as the Lord liveth. For you go, I go. I'm going to hang with you. And finally, they crossed that Jordan, I believe it was. And 50 of the sons of prophets they said that they were snuck away. They were hiding and watching what's going to go on. And they crossed over there. And when they crossed on the other side, Elijah turns around and says, okay, what is it that you want? Friend, let me tell you what. When God gives you that in your spirit, answer Him. Worst thing to tell God when He says, all right, Brian, what do you want? I don't know. He said, I want double what you got. He said, you see me when I'm gone? It's there. I believe if they'd went to sleep, that Elijah would have slept like this with his hand on it. As funny as it may have been, he may have said, I'm going to hold your hand while we're asleep just in case because you ain't getting out of here without me. And when he went up, he got the mantle. And Elisha says something. He says, the chariots of God. He picks up the mantle. He goes back across the river. And the 50 sons of the prophets that are there, they say, let us go see where your master is. He must have, look, not everybody's going to see what happened spiritually. Let's see if a whirlwind tornado in our language picked him up and throwed him over on a hill somewhere. He said, no, I'm telling you. No, don't go. Ain't no sense in it, man. God is the one that got him. I seen the chariot. Well, no, now. Yeah, he may be laying up there and we need to bury him. And he said, go on. And if that's what you're going to do, go on. And then we know. Here we got Elisha going down through time and he does miracle after miracle after miracle, and Satan's sitting there counting them because he always wants to accuse the brethren and accuse God. And he says, there's 14, there's 15. And Elisha dies. And Satan says, ha! He's supposed to get double. Elijah done 8, he done 15. Your prophecy's not true. But then there's some Syrian running around and they grab a dead man. And they walk up to the place of Elijah and they take his bones because they can't run packing a dead man. And they pitch him in there on top of the bones of Elisha. And then there comes the 16th miracle, is that man raises up from the dead and runs past them and says, boys, y'all taking too long. I'm getting out of here. And he scoots right past them. And I want to tell some of you sitting here today, you may be dead and gone. Let me tell you, my grandmother wanted to see me in church, but she was dead and gone quite some time before I would yield to the call of the Lord. And some of your promises and some of your hopes and the things that you're faithing for will not come to pass until you're gone. But know that if God said it, He is far and away able to carry it out. All we have to do is hold on to the hand of God and don't let nobody discourage you. Don't let nobody come in and say, boy, it's never going to happen because you ain't seen it. I don't have to see it. I can look in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 and I can see by faith they done many things not seeing that promise which is to come, which be the Lord Jesus Christ. I have both seen it and felt His precious. Don't let discouragement steal your promises. There's emotions that you have to deal with. There's things that's going to happen. But kiss them and follow God. Now, I don't think for a minute that when Elisha started following Elijah that he didn't remember his parents. I'm sure he thought about them from time to time. But he also knew one thing. This is what God's got for me. And this is where I got to go. So can we be persuaded not to go backward? Oh, you can get knocked a little sideways. For me to stand up here and say, nope, it's straightforward all the way, you ain't going to have a problem, be a lie. Life's going to happen. The Bible tells the rain's on the just and the unjust. You go out in a rainstorm with a lost person, somebody who's not saved, you're going to get just wet as they are. Don't mean God don't love you. It means it's raining. You shouldn't have went out in it. Thank God I got an umbrella named Jesus. I can put it up and keep some of the water off of me. I don't know if some folks need to pray, but if things have been hitting you, this is an altar call. I don't label altar calls very often. But there's an anointing in the building. And God's here to do a work for some folks. And if it seems like you just keep hitting a wall, everywhere you turn, boom, you hit a wall. Whether it's family, friends, work, whatever it is. Oh, I know some folks may say, well, they come and pray all the time. They're always praying. And yeah, you're getting direction. Again, don't worry about what people think or what people say. The Lord is here to deliver some direction to some folks that are looking at it. Who wants some? Who's felt that little bit of a flicker in them? Who knows there's something just a little bit different for me? Who's willing to come and say, God, not if you do this for me, then I'll do this. Not cut a deal. But say, Lord, let it fall on me. Let me feel your mantle. Let me feel your leadership. And I'll kiss those things goodbye that's holding me back. And I'll make the changes that I need to make. He said, I'll go with you all the way. Frustration, doubt, and fear are all here of the enemy to hinder us. But thanks be to God. That God is much greater than any of that.